hopefully we're going to get some real regulatory reform here, and we're going to end some of the practices which helped to put us in economic downfall. And we're in a very deep hole in major, for a lot of reasons, but one of them is what Wall Street did in selling these shoddy mortgage based loans that they sold by the billions, and that just fed more money to the banks which were making those loans. The example we used about 4 weeks ago was a bank out in Washington State called Washington Mutual, which made a whole lot of really shoddy loans, reckless loans, there's so many different things they did, it's kind of hard to enumerate them, but I'll summarize by just saying they're reckless loans, and then they put those loans together, they bundled them, put them in a security, so they get them off their own books, sold that security to Wall Street, which sliced them and diced them, resold those to get them off their books. And at the same time, in the case of Goldman, what we showed is that they knew they were shoddy loans, and they were betting against them so that they would not only make fees when they sold the securities which were referring to those loans or which incorporated those mortgage loans, but they also were actually betting against their own product. And that, it seems to me, is an inherent conflict.
Senator, there's been a lot of talk about the language that was used. Of course, you were reading verbatim when that happened. Was that by design to really draw more attention to this? Because there's a lot of people in this country that don't really have a grasp on what happened on Wall Street and why it was such a problem. Was that kind of by design to kind of maybe get some extra attention to this so that people kind of get what's really going on here?
Well, those emails, there was a lot of emails. One of them said that the stuff they're selling was crap. Another one said it was junk. Another one used the word which...
We won't use here.
We won't use here. Okay, so I used all those examples. I'm quoting their email.
Right.
And so these are words they used. And I think it's important that people understand what the inherent conflict is here. That if you're buying a product from someone, you have a right to expect that that person believes that they're not selling you junk. And it's also, it seems to me, you have a right to believe that the person that is selling you a house isn't going to then insure that house against a fire, knowing that it's a fire trap. I mean, it's just a conflict of interest that's involved here. And one of the things we're going to do on the regulatory reform is hopefully end these conflicts of interest, which so mark Wall Street. But it's much more than Wall Street. The upstream, it was a mortgage company and the bank that put together these shoddy mortgages and then got them off their books.
Wasn't there kind of an interesting or sort of a challenge to it that at the time when all of this was going on, you know, there was this feeling of, well, if people are buying homes and everything like that, we must be doing economically well. Is it a case of maybe that the people that were in the power that could see the opportunity to have this make more money, have them get a few more deals to just kind of play the game against the people that maybe couldn't really afford it?
No doubt about it. The people who were making a fortune out of writing these shoddy mortgages and then getting them off their books. You know, it's one thing if the mortgage company keeps the mortgage on their own books. They're then taking the risk, right? They're saying to the person that they finance a home for, hey, we're going to keep this mortgage on our books. We have confidence that you're going to be able to make the payments. But these companies that were doing this by the billions were getting rid of these mortgages. They were selling them to Wall Street that was then, in turn, re-securitizing them, slicing them, dicing them, and then reselling them. So they were making money and getting them off their books, by the way, so that everyone was getting the risks off their books because they knew that there was a likelihood of default.
We are speaking with U.S. Senator Carl Levin this morning. And, Senator, with one of the things that did come across with the testimony, in particular with the Goldman Sachs from a few days ago, there seemed to be a reluctance or, I guess, a reticence or something that for any of these executives that you were talking to at the committee, they didn't seem to want to admit that they did anything wrong. Is that the general tenor you're coming up against with all of these hearings?
Yeah, we've had hearings, again, with the mortgage company. We had hearings with the regulatory agencies, which failed, just absolutely looked the other way from what they knew was going on at the mortgage companies. And I say knew what was going on because their emails show that they knew that there was bad things happening. They kept telling the mortgage companies, you got to do things differently, but they did enforce those requirements. All they did was send these suggestions to the mortgage companies and not enforce them. So they fell down on the job. And then you had the people who put the credit ratings on these bonds and mortgages, these deals, and rated them AAA, like Moody's and Standard & Poor's. And we had a whole hearing on them about 3 weeks ago. We put together literally millions of pages. It's actually more than millions. I would tell you it's tens of millions, which it is, but that's so impossible for people to accept that we've actually gotten tens of millions of pages that we've been able to go through with computers. We pull out now 2,500 pages in four hearings. So this has been about a year and a half investigation. This is not some kind of one-night deal here.
So how do you change the culture? How do you change that mindset? I mean, you're going to talking about trying to do regulatory reform. Obviously, it's a political process. You're going to be going both sides at this, you know, big business on one side and the people on the other side. But how do you hope to change the culture and the mindset with this regulatory reform?
Well, we change the laws and the regulations. You can't rely on people not to be excessively greedy. Hopefully people will get it and not misbehave that way, but you can't rely on that. This is the same thing which happened, by the way, after the Great Depression. One of the things I cited in the hearing was what happened in 1934 when the Senate was looking at the causes of the Great Depression, and one of the causes was that bankers were selling things to customers that they didn't believe in. And you got to try to change the culture, but I don't know that you're going to be able to do that. I think the community in Wall Street and the mortgage community and so forth is going to have to kind of change their own culture to the extent that these are kind of attitudinal deals. But we can't rely on that. We're going to have to change the laws, and we're going to have regulatory reform. And we overcame a Republican filibuster after three attempts, so that we're now finally have our bill on the floor. We're going to try to strengthen it in some ways, by the way. Republicans probably will want to weaken pieces of it, but at least now we can debate it, and there can be amendments offered, and hopefully we can adopt something strong.